You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God lasts forever. On December 7, 1833, Dutch Reformed pastor Herman Friedrich Kolbrugge sat down at his desk to prepare a sermon for a Wednesday evening gathering for a fledgling congregation of Dutch transplants in Elbersfeld, Germany. Kolbrugge was a Dutchman, and Elbersfeld, Germany is not home. He's not from here. He's here because he has been blocked from serving a congregation in the Netherlands, and this is the only place they will let him preach, far away from home. When he was 24, just 6 years earlier, with unbridled zeal and diplomatic ineptitude, Kolbrugge publicly criticized seasoned minister Uckermann, accusing him of heresy and error. A committee of oversight asked him to retract his comments, suggesting that he come hat in hand with a humble apology for his impertinent outbursts. But disposition and theological convictions kept him from retracing even a single step. This is why Kolbrugge is in Germany. No one will hire him in Holland. No one will ordain him. No one will invite him to preach. There's not a church in the entire country that will touch him even with a 10-foot pole. But this is not really why he's here. This is also why he is here. He's here because earlier that year, on February 12, 1833, after 4 years of marriage, his wife, Katerina Cato, died of tuberculosis. She succumbed after a brief but debilitating illness. Kolbrugge, or Fritz, as he was known to his friends, was left with 2 young children. And now he's in Germany because he's burned out. He's here on doctor's orders because they are afraid that he might get what got Cato. His body is failing. His eyesight is failing. He's coughing up blood, sometimes even when preaching. And his friends are worried he's going to die. A broken man, a broken body, and a broken heart. And Kolbrugge sits down to prepare his sermon on Romans chapter 7, the 14th verse. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin." And when he read it, the moment he understood it, he said, "It was as if paradise opened to me." He discovered a treasure in a field, a pearl of great price he stumbled on. Before I share the 3 discoveries Kolbrugge made that evening, please let me explain what I hope to do these next 3 days. These 3 sermons will be a triptych. about the parable about the treasures in the field and the pearl of great price. And I will let Hermann Friedrich Kolbruch, Fritz, born 1803, dead in 1875, be our preacher for these 3 days. And this approach fits with the parable because you didn't see it coming. You weren't expecting it. You've never heard of Kolbruch. You can't even pronounce his name, and don't you try. But you now have stumbled on the treasure of H.F. Kolbruch. Speaking of treasures, the man in the parable stumbles on a treasure greater than which none exists. It was an unprecedented and unexpected discovery. He wasn't even looking for it. But now that he has it, it is his best kept secret. He hasn't even let anyone in on it yet, but he immediately sells everything he has. No one knows why. They think he's lost his mind. They're probably thinking, why is he betting the farm on this? See, they don't know what he has found. They have not seen what he has seen. But if they knew the immediate sale and this knee-jerk reaction, this response to let go of everything, then it would make sense, of course. Well, I hope you find some treasures the next 3 days. And if God will help me, I will even give you the coordinates to the field where the treasures can be found. And by the end of our time together, once you see this treasure for what it really is, you will have joy. Joy like maybe you've never had before. Kolbruch made 3 life-changing discoveries that evening. First of all, Kolbruch discovered the law is spiritual. For we know that the law is spiritual, says Romans 7:14, and I am of the flesh, sold under sin. Kolbruch discovered the law is spiritual. The law of God, the commandments of God are holy. They are perfect, immovable, unchanging, and eternal. And they are spiritual, which means that the law doesn't only require obedience to the letter, but to the spirit of the law. The law is spiritual and demands not only external conformity to its standards, but an internal obedience. An obedience of the heart. And Kolbruch has said, the whole man is to be according to the mind of God, the heart with its dispositions and inclinations and desires is to be like the heart of God. The law requires a pure man, a pure heart, a holy life, and tolerates not a single thought that is contrary to the word of God. The law is righteous, the law is good, and the law demands perfection, perfect obedience, perfect love, perfect zeal, complete obedience to God. Well, I'm asking for a friend. Who's holy like that? Who lives up to that? Who is that spiritual? Who is that devout, whose affections are so rightly ordered? And if Kolbruch was certain of anything, it was this. He says, I am unable to keep God's commandments. I'm not even able to turn to God. I'm unable even to take a breath under my own steam. I'm not even able to break the power of one single sin, no matter how small and inconsequential, even if this sin is as weak as the strand of a spider's web, he says. Now, the first discovery is that the law is spiritual. And the second discovery is that the flesh is flesh. The text says, I am flesh sold under sin. Kolbruch read that sentence over and over again, mulling it over. I am carnal, sold under sin. I am I am flesh, sold under sin. And Kolbach had always misunderstood that verse. He always thought that it had meant, I am flesh when I sin. I am carnal to the degree that I sin, when it gets the better part of me, or as an exception to the rule, when I sin, that's when I am acting carnal and fleshy. But Kolbach had discovered the human predicament is more daunting than this. He says, I am completely, 100%, through and through with my entire being, body and soul, all of it, my mind, my affections, every part of me, inwardly and outwardly, born from flesh, made from sinful seed, born in sin, sinful from my youth, everything striving inside me, all my powers, desires, lusts, inclinations, impulses, all of them flesh. And all of a sudden it dawned on him. I am flesh, sold under sin. Flesh is now an identifier of the human condition. Sold under sin is a universal human predicament. And Paul and Kolbach and you and me, we remain carnal, sold under sin. The flesh can't obey the spiritual law. The flesh doesn't want to. The flesh can't, and the flesh won't. The flesh is dead. And why are you looking for the living among the dead? Nothing living and nothing spiritual will ever come from the flesh. And yet, in spite of its incapabilities, the flesh has dreams. The flesh has aspirations. The flesh is under the illusion it can please God with religion. Kolbach says the flesh is devout. The flesh tries church and Christianity. The flesh aspires to be something and to do something. Self-righteousness has grown deep roots in this soil. The flesh is our stubborn insistence to keep pace with God in the economy of salvation. Or as I like to put it, the flesh wants to go Dutch with God. Kolbach says that the flesh perpetually dreams of a mystical arrangement of self-improvement with a high regard of personal piety and feelings of devotion. But Kolbach realizes that this fleshy dream of a mystical arrangement is an illusion. The flesh is flesh. When I listen to Kolbach's sermons, when he talks like this, he reminds me of another Dutchman, the famous Golden Age painter Rembrandt. And Rembrandt shared Kolbach's bluntness and his diplomatic ineptitude. Patrons requested beautiful portrayals of biblical stories from Rembrandt, and Rembrandt responds by painting dead and defecating animals. Rembrandt made those stories crass, vulgar. Customers would gladly pay for the beautiful portrayals of beautiful people, but Rembrandt paints flaws. Even when they're bathing, Rembrandt's women rarely turn out to be beauties. Flabby breasts and distorted hands, and even the marks of corset lacing on her stomach and stockings tight around the legs. One commentator says about Rembrandt using an ungraciously stiff nib dipped in iron gall ink, a caustic medium that burns a harsh brown line deep into the paper. Rembrandt refused to escape the disorder and episodic ugliness of the real world. Rembrandt paints flesh. He depicts humanity in unedited, unvarnished pain. Rembrandt left behind 80 renderings of his own image, 80 selfies, although I'm not sure if this is the technical term historians, art historians would use. But he was willing to stare himself in his own ugly face, sagging lines, bloated face, and potato nose. He painted the face of failure. He painted the face of bankruptcy. The face of human flesh stared him square in the face, nothing prettified and nothing photoshopped. Now, some of you are going to say that I'm being crude. By now, you've lost your appetite for pimento cheese and cranberry relish. This is obnoxious and tasteless, and this sermon is all too fleshy. But see, the flesh has aspirations. The flesh believes in self-improvement. The flesh still practices image management. But if you want to buy the treasure in the field, if you want to own the pearl of great price, you got to sell it all. None of it will help. Flesh will never do you any good. Nothing good will ever come from it. And this leads us to Kolbrugge's third and final discovery. Yes, the law is spiritual and the flesh is flesh, but the shock came to him when he realized that Jesus Christ has become flesh. This is the pearl of great price, he said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus has become flesh. Jesus has entered into the human predicament, and he, the Holy One, the spiritual one, the perfectly obedient one, he became sin for me. He who knew no sin became sin for you. He who was divine became divine flesh for you. Born in the human condition, which now means that Jesus has become your pride. Jesus has become, he has taken on your hubris. Jesus has now become the greedy and the lustful, and the lazy one. Jesus became flesh. Jesus became your sin, taking on the penalty and the pain of human flesh on a bloody cross for you. Now, do you see this? Did you just stumble over something underfoot? Or did you think that you were just walking through a field? Did you just walk past the pearl of great price? There is a treasure in this field. This is the shocking surprise of the gospel. This is the scandal of grace. You will never be good enough. You will never do enough. You will never obey enough. You will never pray enough. You will never fast enough. You will never repent enough. You will never be virtuous enough. You will never go to enough Lenten preachings, sermons, and lunches. I mean, how many can you go to? Your life will never change enough. The law is spiritual and you are flesh, but thanks be to God that he who knew no sin became sin for you. Well, I'll give Fritz the last word. There are those who day by day live under the illusion that they can contribute their kernels of sand to climb the mountain of holiness. But from one day to the next, The storm of sin blows all the sand kernels away. And there you are in the corner crying, and you've got to start all over and try even harder. So my word to you, brothers and sisters, is this: stop it, let it go, sell it all, sell everything. And in the words of Fritz, he would say to you this morning, let the old monk die. Sell it all. Sell your religious performance and give it away. Be done with your purification systems and personal improvement mechanisms and exchange them so that you might find some life. Sell everything. Get rid of everything, because this is the only joy that you will find for broken hearts. This is the only joy for broken men and for broken women. This is where joy can be found. So sell it all and let go of any security that you might have in anything else except for the finished work of Jesus Christ. Do it, and do it now. Sell it all. Sell it for joy. Rest in the finished work. Make the sale. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.